Chris Taylor describes himself as a digital nomad entrepreneur, and he divides his year over living in Spain, Panama, and Canada. In the meantime, he runs his business, Actionable Books, with a team of people. This altogether intrigued me, as there must be a lot of collaboration and teamwork involved to make it work. Hence, I invited Chris to be my guest, to find out what types of collaboration are involved for Chris and Actionable Books, and you are about to listen into a great conversation I had with Chris. My name is Peter Simons. Welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host.
Chris, welcome. Welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
So Peter, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So who is Chris Taylor and what do you do?
Chris Taylor is a digital nomad entrepreneur who has a passion for creating stronger relationships in the workplace. I run a company called Actionable Books, where we effectively distill ideas from leading business books and turn them into conversations, turn them into guides, simple tools that teams and collections of individuals can use to discuss and apply the concepts from these books. So that's the business, and I run it remotely, divide my time between Panama, an island in northern Panama, rural Spain, and Toronto, Canada.
Sounds like a tough life.
Terrible, terrible thing, Peter.
Okay. So what is for you collaboration in business?
I think collaboration is, you know, is, to borrow from Covey, I mean, it's the win-win of relationships, of being able to see the opportunities to leverage the strengths and niche talents of the people that I come in contact with on a daily basis, and really to sort of explore ways to work together for mutual gain, and that whole idea of one plus one equaling three. When you're building that, I have this visual in my head, Peter. Every time I meet someone who's interesting, who appears to have a strong level of humility and desire to help, I look at each person as a puzzle piece. And I think about, okay, how do I rotate this piece? Where does it click with other pieces? How do we build something that, you know, looks even, you know, sort of better from afar by interlocking the different pieces? And to me, that's what collaboration is. It's the clean sort of interlocking of pieces to create something that wasn't there before.
Interesting visual. But I think there is one distinction from the jigsaw puzzle that we all know. This one will never end. So you don't have an example with 1,000 pieces, and when you have all the pieces on the table, you are ready.
Totally agree. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's that idea that, you know, certain pieces will actually connect to an entirely different puzzle. And so it just continues to expand by adding whole puzzles together as well as individual pieces within that. That's probably as far as I can stretch the analogy, but that's how I see it in my head.
Well, it's a very nice analogy, because especially when you connect that to the visual of that puzzle, and you think back to the early days when we were all on the floor making puzzles sometime in our life. And yep, you can connect those puzzles, and then it's a never-ending game.
Yeah. So and it's fun. I'm glad you said game, because that's exactly what it is to me. It's exploring, you know, it's creating something new by having, you know, the other thing that you could look at. It's always connecting the dots, right? Connecting the pieces, connecting the dots, connecting sort of neurons in your head and how they sort of create a new bridge and what's created out of that. I think that's what's so exciting to me about it, is that collaboration is this blue sky field where there is no right or wrong answer. It's an opportunity to play and to see how we can create something really exciting to both of us. And that's the added challenge. It's easy for me to create something that's exciting for me, but I want it to be exciting for me and for you, and I want you to be excited for me and for you, and that's what creates that ongoing energy, I think.
Yeah, very nice. Now, when I look at your business from the outside, I see at least three different areas of collaboration. Mm-hmm. One is you're moving around the world, so there will be an interesting aspect of collaborating with your team, because as far as I know, the business is more than just yourself and people.
Correct, yes.
The second one is you are offering team workshops from a business perspective, so you're also looking from a team perspective there in collaboration. Mm-hmm. And the third one is potentially teaming up with other companies or other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? How do you manage that all?
Well, happy to explore those three. I would say, you know, even as you're listing them off there, I think two other really big ones is we work with consultants around the globe, and I can talk about that relationship. Independent consultants that are their own separate entity and how we collaborate for a mutual win there. And then we also collaborate with the authors and publishing houses in, you know, leveraging certain aspects of their intellectual property and how we can, you know, share that in a way that's beneficial to all. So it's interesting, you know, sort of thinking about this conversation ahead of time, Peter, that so much of our business, in fact, I would say the vast majority of our business is that it's collaboration with different entities and in different ways. And I think it's fairly unique as a result. In regards to the team aspect, which I can tackle first, we have always, since day one, been a virtual-based, results-only work environment-based company, which, for those not familiar with the term, basically says we're really clear on establishing objectives with each person. We do that collaboratively. So I'll work with, I don't mandate down to people on the team, here's what your mission is for the year. We build it collaboratively as far as what we feel is the appropriate sort of targets for the year. We have an open book management policy, so the team members see our financials. We review them on a monthly basis. And so they build the plan, and then I'm basically available to support them in achieving that. And we have check-in points throughout to see how they're doing. Are they on track for that? But it's never been a 9-to-5 job. We have, you know, we have a small team. We have 8 on our core team. We have a brand new mother. We have several people with kids. We have several people that this is a part-time role for them, and they work this around another passion project or job that pays the bills. And so everyone has a different schedule. Everyone has a different style of working. I get emails 24 hours a day from team members as everyone works around the clock. And I think the collaborative aspect of that is, as long as we have that clear sense of where we're going, and we have a clear sense of the values that keep us sort of on the playing field and not straying too far into questionable territory, it's actually fairly easy to collaborate. I trust them. They've earned that trust, although I give it to them and it's theirs to lose at the beginning. And we get together physically 3-to-4 times a year, depending on who the individuals are. And we connect on a weekly basis, monthly basis. Some of us are daily. Just for touch points to keep, you know, in sync with one another. But everyone works autonomously as well as collaboratively. And I think that's, to me, that's a really important part of effective collaboration, is a high level of autonomy and the ability for individuals to, you know, get work done on their own without feeling like they need to be, you know, surrounded with by or touching everybody all the time. Mm-hmm. So I can pause there because there's 8 levels to this, Peter, but that's a good start.
Well, I almost immediately have a question there, because the way you're working with your team, you mentioned they're pretty autonomous and you work really collaborative. That's the way you described it. You really, yep, collaborate with your people. Yep. And actually, when making that sentence, I realized that the way I say your people is not the right way, because it's a team. It's not your, they are not your people. It's your team.
That's right.
I read the other day a recent blog post from you about that you changed your way of working after moving to Panama.
Yeah.
And that, according to the blog post, was also to enhance the collaboration in the team. Can you, yep, elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I was getting to a point, Peter, where we have clients all over the globe. We have consultant partners in 7 countries and 12 time zones, and so I was getting to a point where I felt like I was working all the time without actually moving the needle on the things that were most important to me. So it was, you know, getting caught in the urgent, and the fact that urgent was 24 hours a day, and not, you know, sort of refocusing on the important. And so I wanted to do that. I also wanted to move out of sort of a navel-gazing approach that we'd been taking with our management meetings, of doing it really, really looking back on the last month or last quarter's numbers. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with review, obviously. But we weren't proactively looking forward to the month or the quarter ahead, and wanted to get back to that. So basically, I got the team involved in the process of saying, you know, what's important to you? When do we want to connect? What do we connect on? How often? How connected do you feel to the sort of overall company's objectives? And that was a big eye opener for me, because that was, I sort of had a sense of it, but it was abysmal. We had a 5.7 from the team out of 10 on their sense of confidence in understanding all aspects of the business. And it's not like we're a General Electric, you know, like it's not like we've got 28 departments going on and 10,000 employees. It's they should know, and it's no fault of their own that they didn't. Anyway, my point. I built my day into basically blocks of time focused around creativity in the morning, focused around business metrics, so KPIs and the financials for sort of the later morning. And then I really carved out as much time as I could for what I called management in my calendar, not to manage other people, but to sort of manage projects and keep the wheels on the bus. And that was really time that I wanted to make myself available to our consultants and to our staff, our team, on a structured, scheduled, ongoing basis, so they would know that between 1 and 4 in the afternoon, I would be available to them Eastern time. I'd be available to them, plus a couple evenings to account for our Asia Pacific friends. So I probably sort of lost the question, but it was an intentional reconnection to what's important and who's it important to, and how do I create the space in my calendar to support them.
Okay. Well, you're completely in line with the question, because it was to elaborate on how you changed that schedule to in order to better work together with your team.
Sure.
So, excellent. So, when we look at partners, and then we have a risk of having a very broad definition of partners.
Yeah.
How do you work with other companies?
It's a great question. I think, you know, for me, working with another company is very similar to working with another individual, be it a team member or even a spouse. I mean, you know, my wife Amy and I, you know, we focus on that idea of collaboration a lot and sort of, you know, leveraging strengths. Anyway, the whole point that I would get to, whether it's an organization or an individual, is what do you want out of this? And it's a fairly straightforward question, but why? What is it that you want to gain from this relationship? And it could be something finite and definite, or it could be something more sort of esoteric or fluffy. But I think the more that we can have those conversations at the beginning, and I feel like I'm borrowing a lot from Covey, but that whole seek first to understand before you try to be understood, I think is really part and parcel of effective collaboration, of just spending the extra time to get clear on what that entity, person or company wants out of the relationship, and then working to that rather than working to your own. I mean, you'll figure out your own afterwards, but in order for it to have any shot of working out, this collaborative endeavor, it needs to make sense for your partner. And so I do this whether we're looking at a supplier relationship or a client relationship or a cross promotional relationship. It, regardless of what the quote unquote hierarchy is, if we can look first at what they want out of this and then build something that makes sense for that, and then double check it to make sure it makes sense for us. But we're going to naturally support our own best interests, I think. It's this whole idea of otherish that Adam Grant talks about in Give or Take to me. It's that trying to be as selfless as possible, and we're going to build in naturally, I believe, our own gains on that. But that to me is the effective way to go about collaborating with an entity of any size, individual or corporate.
So you put the other party first, even over a collective win-win. Is that what I understand?
In the initial sort of thinking it through, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, again, don't sign a contract that's completely one-sided. We're not martyrs for our businesses. But it's in the initial sort of thought process, I believe, for me personally anyway, what I found effective is if I can remove my own sort of self-interest from thinking through how can they get what they want out of this, and then back that out to say, and how do I make sure that I get what I want in pursuit of that? That protects the integrity of your value in the partnership, if you look at it as a partnership, I believe. Because it's not coming to the table saying, well, here's what I want, you tell me what you want, we're going to fight for this. Because that's not collaboration, right? I mean, that's negotiation. Collaboration to me is really about the put the other person first. It's that, someone told me before I got married, the key to a happy relationship is for each person to feel like they're putting in 60% out of the 50-50 relationship. And if both people do that, then you feel generous, you feel kind, the other person feels loved and supported, and it comes both ways. So you actually end up giving more than 100% between the two of you. And I, you know, there's a whole other conversation there, but I like that thought process towards collaboration of any kind.
Okay. For the whole other conversation, I won't ask your wife to come on the podcast.
Appreciate that, Peter.
Now, when you look back to your work history, have you always been such a collaborator, or was there a moment for you that you realized, hey, collaboration is a more effective way of working?
You know, I had two series of experiences early in life that I think has sort of framed my view on working relationships. The first was I went to film school, so film production, actually making movies for my university degree. And the whole third and fourth year of school is basically you running or working on a volunteer film set where you may have upwards of 50 people that no one's being paid. There is no sort of hierarchy. There's no unions. There's nothing to fall back on except for a, this needs to work for you, otherwise you're going to leave. And so that mentality of how do I make this work for the people that are here and still get out of this what I want to get out of this. And so that was 2 years of my life spent, you know, trying to create something through the collaborative efforts of a group of individuals that all have their own interests and priorities. I mean, it wasn't always a top priority for them because they weren't getting paid. The second experience was when I, at a very young age, ran a sales team of independent contractors. It was for a direct sales company. And they were, I had 120 sales reps at the peak that were on this team, not a single one of whom were salaried or had any obligation to me whatsoever. And so in order to motivate that sales team, it had to be, there was no carrot or stick, right? Well, there's carrots sometimes, but there was no stick. I couldn't threaten anybody. Not that I probably wanted to anyway, but that just wasn't an option. And so I had to learn to understand what their motivations were and how to help them achieve that in line with helping me achieve what I wanted for the office objectives. And so I think, you know, to answer your question, I think I was fortunate in that regard, where the two first pseudo-professional experiences that I had for a combined 5 years during those formative business foundations years were I didn't have an option. It was all based on collaboration and voluntary sort of workforce.
Very interesting. Actually, you're getting close to the fact that you already learned at the university how to collaborate.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, whereas most people, when you ask them, where did you learn to collaborate, they don't have a clear answer. So far, mm-hmm. I've had only one clear answer where John Lee Dumas said, I learned to collaborate in the army because it was a matter of life and death.
Right.
But you are there, the second one who more or less answers that you really learned to collaborate.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'd love to, I don't know how we'd line that up, but I'd love to talk to John about that, because I would imagine that the military version of collaboration, or sort of nuance of collaboration, would be different than the fine arts school version of collaboration, but maybe not. It'd be interesting to see what the parallels were and what the differences were between the two sort of versions or views of collaboration.
Certainly, yeah.
we'll have to do something. John and I are talking next year, so we'll see. We'll bring it up.
Good. Now, when you look at your business, Actionable Books.
Yes.
I just noticed somewhere 636 books on the website. Tell us a little bit more about what is Actionable Book.
Sure. So it started as a passion project, Peter. Back in 2007, I was coming off the heels of that direct sales company that I mentioned. I went really well for a while, and then I basically stopped collaborating, amongst many other strong things, started trying to demand things, and the whole thing fell apart. And it was a bit of a disaster at the end. So I was, 2007, I was coming off the heels of that, and I was reading a lot to try to figure out what had happened. And long story short, I basically realized that just consuming the books was not enough to actually make a difference. I needed to do something with the information. I needed to apply it to my life. And so I started writing these summaries in 2007, which were not true business book summaries, but rather one idea from the book, and then two ways I was thinking about applying it. And I would share that in a blog format. And I would ask friends and family to hold me accountable to it. I wanted to write one per week for a year. And the audience around it grew, and the interest around it grew, and there was a community that sprung up of people that believe in the importance of applying ideas from business books. And so I continued doing that myself for about 2 years. I've written now about 140 of the summaries on the site. But as you say, we're almost at 640, and those are additional 500 have been produced entirely by an army of volunteers, which has been really neat to see. We've formalized it, and we've structured it. We now have what we call the Actionable Book Club, which we're actually just opening. I don't know when this episode's going live, but at the end of November, the applications are opening for 2015. And it's really neat because there's a community of people that are come from all walks of life, from all parts of the world, and they are summarizing a book per month. They're discussing that book in a monthly call. They're being held accountable to that group to read the book, summarize the book, share ideas. We've seen people go on retreats together out of those. But again, that whole idea of collaboration, we basically have created the tools and allowed people that have the passion and the energy for it to take those tools and run with it. And I think that's a slightly different form of collaboration, but it's the, here, I'll build something and you can play with it. And so that's been interesting to see too. And those actual book club members are some of our biggest champions and ambassadors, and there's fabulous people. I really enjoy working with them.
Yeah, it's really collaborating in a community, what you're doing there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Well, this episode will go live around the time that your opening comes for 2015. So around early December.
Okay, great.
I just had a question. It slipped. Anyway, it will come back. Did you read all 636 books yourself?
No. I mean, the actual book club members are producing 16 a month, 16 to 20 summaries a month. And I read at a fairly decent clip, but not that fast. I'm not reading 12 books a month. So, no, I even just try to stay on top of the summaries at the pace they're coming out. So, I typically read where I've sort of slid myself is I have a good relationship with a dozen or so of the authors that I built relationships with a couple years ago. And so I typically spend my time reading advanced copies of the books that they have coming out. And I've sort of got a stable of authors that I really believe in the importance of their message and the direction that we're going and sort of teaching and the skill sets that are required in the 21st century. So I stay on top of those authors and I read those books. There's a fabulous one coming out probably around the time this episode goes live called Finish Big by Bo Burlingham. And those who aren't familiar with Bo's work, he's brilliant. He's the editor at large of Inc. magazine, one of the, if not the founding partner of Inc. magazine. And he wrote probably my all-time favorite book called Small Giants, which I highly recommend. So new book coming out end of November called Finish Big.
Okay, interesting. And I recall my question. When would people use the book reviews? And I was triggered by the question yesterday when your newsletter came and I saw that there is a summary of the book that I'm currently reading, A More Beautiful Question. So I thought, let's read the summary. No, I won't read the summary because I'm reading the book. So,
yeah, it's a great question. I think, people read it for different reasons. I know a number of people who use actionable books as their sort of filter as to whether they want to buy a book or not. So they hear about a book, they'll come on Actionable, they'll look at the summary, they'll decide based on that if they want to read the book. I think it's important to reiterate the fact that we're in no way replacing reading the book. It's highly subjective the way that the summaries are written. It's one person's opinion. It's what they feel was a main point worth sharing. And it's interesting to see the debate that can spring up where people will say, well, I read that book and I think you kind of missed the main point. Here's the main point. And it's interesting because the main point is different for everybody. So to answer your question more directly, I think if you're considering buying a book and you want to get a better sense of what it's about, you can come read the summary. If you're looking for inspiration on a particular topic, the summaries are organized by category of skill or mentality. They're completely free as well. I don't know if we made that clear, but these summaries are completely free. Our money, our revenue generating side of the business is workshops, which are hour-long learning modules that that teams and organizations can work through together. So it's effectively a guide for the leader to walk their team through conversation around an idea from a top book around how, as a team, they can apply those ideas. Sorry, I'm getting off topic, but that's sort of the gist of how the business is set up.
Okay, but that's a very nice way to get off topic, in the sense that I think there is another element of collaboration. So you are using the book summaries and building them into team workshops.
That's right.
And the fact that it's a team workshop and not a voluntary personal workshop or another kind of personal workshop makes that there is a lot of collaboration, and it's enhancing team collaboration in the workshop.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it comes down to me, Peter, this, you know, I think what people are starting to know this stat, but you know, over 70% of the workforce globally, but particularly in North America and Europe, are not engaged in the work that they do. And the number one factor affecting engagement is the relationship that an individual has with their supervisor or direct manager and their direct working group, their team. And I think, you know, that's a major statement to say that 70% are not engaged, and the major reason they're not is because they don't have a strong relationship with their team. And yet, when we look at learning and development in general, it's extremely self-focused and becoming more so. The idea of e-learning modules and video on demand and self-directed learning programs are all about you as an individual in front of a box going through it by yourself. And that's a fabulous way to transfer knowledge, but you're not building any sense of relationship. There is no collaboration coming through. You can't learn collaboration through a computer. You learn it through actually engaging in conversation and dialogue with your peers. And so that's what we're working to do, is we're working to change the learning landscape to focus less on individual development, although that's important, but to turn it into and extend it into, we need to strengthen relationships in the workplace. That's what we're all about, and that's what we're doing with Actionable Workshops.
Very interesting. How does that apply? I can see it immediately apply to, let's call them, the old-fashioned organization. So we work in the same building, or we work in the same team, and at least once upon a time we are together and we can do a workshop. Mm-hmm. How do you do it with a new style of organization, like your own team?
Yeah, we do them roughly once a month with our own team, and we do them via Hangout. So we'll do a Google Hangout, we'll go on screen, and everyone goes through it together. Not all the modules work when you're not in a physical environment together, but the majority of them do. And it's really about enhancing conversation, right? I mean, if you look at our modules, they're not complicated. I mean, this is really easy stuff. It's just a little bit deeper than the day-to-day fires, the transactional conversations that we have. And that's the interesting part about the workplace, right? Is you can talk to people every day and learn nothing about them, because everything that you're talking about is simply transactional. And all we want to do is go a little bit deeper than that. We're not, you know, holding hands virtually or in real life singing Kumbaya. It's about just connecting on, you know, what are the values of the company? Or, you know, here's a new way to solve problems. How could we have used that differently on past problems? Giving people a chance to reflect, to plan, to discuss. It's that time out. That's, again, people don't need to use our program to do this. I mean, all you need to do is sit down for an hour once a month, once every 6 weeks, and talk about something a little bit deeper. Grab a TED Talk or grab a article from somewhere, share it and say, let's talk about this. You know, ours are a little more structured. They'll give you a little more guidance. They'll take you a little bit deeper. But I would just love to see teams taking more time out to connect and just have human relationships in the workplace.
That's a great recommendation. And I love talking to you about this wider sense of collaboration, Chris, but given the sake of time, I'm still already looking at my closing questions.
Sure.
So what will be your number one recommendation for people entering into a collaboration? And you've shared already a lot.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think, you know, to come back to my first point, yeah, I feel like I'm getting up and down off my soapbox, Peter. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to vent some of these frustrations. But I think, you know, it start from what do they want? I think we need to take a little more time to have that upfront conversation of what do you want out of this relationship, out of this project, out of this program. And let's talk about that. Let's structure how we can actually build this to suit your best interests. I think there's a law of reciprocity that kicks in there too, where, you know, if they're a functioning human being, their response after that will be, you know, thank you. Now, what about you? And so I think we can win. I've seen it for myself. I know that I'm way more successful personally when I put the needs of the person I'm collaborating with first. So that would be my biggest tip, I think, for collaboration is start with the other person's intentions or goals first.
Excellent. And well, my next question is a tricky one with you, because you already shared a number of them. But what would be your recommendation for a book about collaboration?
It's a slightly off topic sort of, but there's a really strong book on collaboration, on a collaboration mindset when it comes to salespeople, called Let's Get Real or Let's Not Play. And I'm racking my brain. It's Randy Illig and I cannot remember the other gentleman's name. But it's a really strong book. It leverages a lot of Covey's practices. They both worked with Franklin Covey for many years.
Mahan Khalsa?
Yes, exactly. Did you look that up or did you know that?
I know that. Actually, I was looking at the book because it's here on the bookshelf somewhere, but I can't find it that quickly.
Well, if those who haven't seen Peter's bookshelf, it's fairly impressive. So that book, I think, it shifted my mindset towards sales, and it's different than any sales book I've read otherwise. I recommend that one.
Okay, great. I will include a link in the show notes.
Great. You can link to the actionable summary if you'd like to, Peter.
I will, definitely. Yes. Good suggestion. And so where can people find more about you, Chris, and your business?
Sure. Actionablebooks.com. You can send me an email if you want, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at actionablebooks.com. And I'm on Twitter, at actionablechris.
Great. I love it that actionable is in everywhere.
It's everywhere, exactly. It's not worth it if it's not.
Except for your Skype ID.
Old school, yeah.
So is there anything you would like to share with our listeners that we haven't discussed yet?
No, I mean, if anybody wants to, I mean, Peter's, this has been fabulous. I really appreciate it. I think, you know, the caliber of podcasts worldwide is steadily increasing and you're at the front edge of that. So I appreciate you having me on the show today.
Trust is always an important element for collaboration, and it's often highly emphasized in business collaborations like strategic alliances. It is very interesting to hear Chris talk about trust within the team context, where he explains that he gives trust to his team members in the beginning. Trust is also here an essential cornerstone of collaboration. Chris mentioned the Actionable Book Club. And when you're listening to this episode prior to November 28 and are interested to become a member, make sure to check out the show notes for the link to the application page. Otherwise, follow the Actionable Books summary and check back for the next opening in 2015. The show notes can be found at petersimons.com under the podcast option. And that's it for this week. Bye for now. Until next time.